Our study this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 21, verses 28 to chapter 22, verse 5. Proverbs with directions on righteous living. Where Proverbs 10:1 to 15:33 contrasts wise, upright lives with foolish and wicked ones, chapter 16, verse 1 to 22:16 focuses mainly on the upright life, guiding us on how to live righteously in many realms of our experience. So we view each proverb in this section to draw its deeper insight that Proverbs 1, chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 implies exists. There is always room, according to Proverbs 1, 5, and 6, for even a wise man to gain and to grow in understanding and in wisdom. So these proverbs, written by a man who had a gift of wisdom greater than anyone other, obviously, than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always worth our getting into these proverbs and reading them through. So we're going to view each proverb in this section. Before we do, why don't we stop for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, and for the empowering Spirit of God, who is our teacher, the one who runs alongside to be our helper. We ask, Father, for wisdom today as believers to approach the word of God properly so that we would understand the truth and pay heed to what the Spirit of God is teaching us, that we might learn the facts and then go beyond that, Father, and have the motivation, the will to apply it in our lives under the Spirit's direction, that we might indeed succeed and not fail in these various areas of endeavor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read, we have the King James Version here. I'll read it. Some of these verses have to be dramatically retranslated because often the text that we use when the King James was translated in 1611 weren't as thorough as some of the manuscripts that have been discovered since then, especially the Dead Sea Scrolls. So we'll just read it first of all, and then we'll retranslate them. Proverbs 21, verse 28. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. That has to be retranslated. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he directs his way. And that has to be retranslated to understand what he's talking about as well. Verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord, actually, that can succeed against the Lord. We'll look at that. Verse 31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety or deliverance is of the Lord. Chapter 22, verse 1, a good name or a good reputation, rather, is to be chosen over great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together, or they have this in common. The Lord is the creator of them all. And then a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the naive pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that does keep his soul shall be far from them. We'll have to retranslate that as well. Okay. Proverbs 21:28 actually teaches that a witness of falsehood, and we would translate this, a false witness, will perish. But a nobleman, this is the Hebrew word ish for a nobleman versus the common man, which is Adam. But a nobleman who hears, speaks in endurance. A better translation would be one who listens attentively will report accurately and his testimony will stand. So being attentive as a leader, like a nobleman would be, pays tremendous dividends because it equips him to speak accurately in court so that his testimony stands opposite that of liars for the good of society. It's interesting. I've served both as a youth director and then as an assistant to the pastor, and then I've served as a pastor now for over 30 years. And I've noticed that the higher in rank that I've gone, the more important it is that I pay attention to what's going on around me. Because if I don't pay attention and I don't really understand the facts that are going around, then when those facts are desperately needed for me to make decisions, then I kind of hurt my decisions simply because I don't know the facts. So it really always pays dividends to pay attention to what's going on in life around us. Pay attention to what's going on with subordinates. Pay attention to what's going on with colleagues that are around us. Make sure we know why what's going on and so forth. And we will save ourselves a tremendous amount of difficulty. Knowledge generally is very inexpensive. A lot of times it's free. And yet it's incredibly valuable to have it. So it's always good to pay attention to what's going on. Same thing with a car. A good mechanic, as he's driving down the road in the car, if he hears something that's a little out of sync, if he doesn't know what it is, he'll stop the car eventually when he gets home, and then he checks under the hood and finds out, what was that sound? Because he wants to know what's going on. And it really pays to have it go, to know what's going on with your automobile so that you don't get stuck somewhere out in the snowstorm somewhere 50 miles away from home. So pay attention. Always pay attention. In fact, it always pays dividends in life. Proverbs 21:29 asserts that a wicked nobleman, is the Hebrew word ish again for nobleman, shows boldness with his face, but the upright man, he, it's an emphatic pronoun written separate from the verb, which is very unusual. Most pronouns are not actually written in Hebrew, they're actually spelled within the verb itself. So when you have a pronoun that is spelled separate from the verb, it's emphatic, he. Orders aright his ways. So the wicked person has to put on a false front in order to persuade other people. But the upright man can afford to relax, letting their actions speak volumes. This is something that's true if you're ever dealing with people who are in sales. A salesman that has to go the extra mile, trying to go excessive with his body language and so forth, you might want to watch out for him. He's probably trying to hide something. But a person who in sales, and he says, look, check the car for yourself. You want to take it for a drive? Drive it. You want to check it with another mechanic? Check it. You know, that type of person is generally a person who's more trustworthy. My parents bought a home years ago in Dallas, Texas, and there was a lady down there who was the realtor. And she was the most soft-sell person they ever met. She just gave them the keys, went in the house, and followed them around. And if they had questions, she answered it. But she wasn't trying to sell them and oversell them. And my parents really liked that because they had a pretty good idea what they were looking for. So they recommended her. And other people started to recommend her. And before she knew it, she was, you know, her plate was full. Her schedule was full because of the way she sold. She wasn't trying to sell people something they really didn't like. All she did was just go around basically and answer questions. And she was supportive whenever she could be. But she was honest and upright. So you have to watch it. A person who's righteous doesn't have to put a front on. He just lets his works, his deeds, speak for him. So that's an insight into discerning people. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30 claims that there is no wisdom, there is no understanding, Tabuna, and there is no advice or counsel to oppose Yahweh. Yahweh is the name for God that was used at the burning bush. Remember when God revealed himself to Moses as the I Am? That's what Yahweh means in Hebrew. And what this means is that there's no wisdom, no understanding, there's no advice or counsel that successfully can oppose the Lord. The implication is we must submit to God's ways in order to succeed, for opposing them brings certain failure. If we're taking advice, but we're not paying attention to the Lord's advice, if we seek to have an understanding, if we seek to make plans, but we haven't taken the Lord into account, we're automatically putting at risk those plans and that advice right up front, because God has an agenda, and nobody's going to override God's agenda. So it's always good to check with the Lord. Now, obviously, we need to plan. The Bible says the Lord, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord God hath made them both. And the implication is the seeing eye that you have and the hearing ears that you have are the best means of empirical evidence that you're going to have, vehicles of empirical evidence, so use them. But nevertheless, we have to rely upon the Lord when it comes to planning, when it comes to advice. If we don't, we're certainly going to run into difficulty eventually, because when we oppose the will of God, boom, it's out to lunch. So always submit to God's ways. This is why I encourage people, always be reading through Scripture, constantly exposing yourself to Scripture on a regular basis so that your mind becomes saturated with the Word of God. And that way, you're going to be able to pick up on, if you're going to see a problem, the Scripture will give you insight into seeing the problem as you're making the planning, or if you hear advice, you can right away sift that advice and see if it's right or not, because your mind is saturated with Scripture and with the will of God. Proverbs 21, verse 31 teaches that the horse is readied. This is a causative passive. It's a hophel, unusual stem. The horse is readied for the day of battle, but from Yahweh is deliverance and victory. You can, if you're getting into a competition of any kind or into a contention of any kind, especially in a competitive situation, you can do everything you can. You can get the equipment that you're having for the battle ready. You can equip yourself. You can get plenty of good night's sleep and so forth. But unless the Lord gives the victory, you're not going to get it. So ultimately, it all stands down to the Lord. You have to rely on the Lord. This goes for anything. Whether it's a game that you're playing, whether it's a business venture you're getting into, whether it's trying to land a particular job, you name it. It's always, always wise to rely upon the Lord and look to Him. And that tells us something too. If the Lord doesn't want us to be fighting any battles, you can prepare the horse as much as you can. You're not going to win the battle. The point is, make sure that this is God's will. Should I be going into this battle, or should I be going into this competition or not? So always follow the Lord's will, and then the Lord can make a way successful. I'm reminded here of David when he went to fight Goliath. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but when they put those stones in their the slingshots that they had, a slingshot that was a pouch at the end of two ropes, and you would wing it around your head like this, and then you would let one of the ropes go. And those slings, they would throw stones about this size or up to a small baseball. And you could throw them about several hundred feet with accuracy, providing it was perfectly round. If it wasn't perfectly round, it would curve. Well, when David went to fight Goliath, he didn't bring any stones with him because he wasn't expecting to fight. So when he went down to the brook and he chose five smooth stones, he was acting on complete faith. He chose the roundest looking stones that he could. And he'd probably had plenty of experience, because he'd already killed a bear, he'd already killed a lion, he told that to Saul. But he was relying on the Lord that the Lord was going to help that stone meet its mark. And it did. It went right into the forehead of Goliath and sunk, and of course we all know that David won. But he was taking a tremendous risk. He hadn't had any ground stones that were perfectly smooth, so perfectly round. So David knew that the Lord wanted to give him the victory. That's why he went ahead with the battle. It's like trying to play a round of golf with a golf ball that's not perfectly round. Here's a golfer over here. You're taking a tremendous risk. You know, you try and drive it down the fairway, it's not going to go straight. It's going to curve one way or another, or it's going to dip or launch or something. So you have to rely upon the Lord ultimately. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, asserts that a name, and here the name means a good reputation. A good reputation is to be chosen above or rather than riches. And favor, this is favor with other people, favor with God, is more wholesome. The word wholesome is tov that is used in Genesis 1:31, where God created the wholesome or the tov universe. Favor is more wholesome than silver or gold. So a good reputation is better than riches, because a good reputation yields good relationships that build up the inner man, something that riches are powerless in themselves to accomplish. If you are a multimillionaire but you have a bad reputation, eventually you're going to run out of what your riches can do for you. And if you have a bad reputation, people don't want to do business with you and interact with you, and that causes the riches to lose. If you've got a good reputation and you have good favor with people, even if you don't have a job yet, it's very easy to get the job and to get income. You have relationships with people and build it up. Businessmen know this well, especially people who all know businesses. Your relationships to people in the community is everything, because that keeps the business flowing in your direction. So it's very good to watch out that you keep a good reputation, that you're doing the work, and that you're honest, and you're considerate of other people, and also that you have favor and have a favorable relationship with other people. Proverbs 22, verse 3 teaches that the crafty, shrewd, sensible man sees evil, misery, distress, injury, or wickedness. Could be any one of those. Ra'ah is a very broad word. He just sees trouble, and he hides himself. The power is to hide yourself or to cover yourself. But the naive, or the untaught, keep on going and are punished. It pays to be wary of troublesome threats in life's pathway so that we avoid being needlessly harmed versus naively, blindly heading on into the future. Boy, this verse, I started studying this about a week ago, this whole section of scripture, because we have a missionary who was here last week, and I always prepare my lessons ahead of time just in case the missionary for some reason can't make it. So I've been aware of this verse for a couple of weeks, and I think during that period of time, the Lord has given me I've counted five different warning signals in different areas of my life. Some having to do with ministry, some having to do with family life, personal life, you name it, just all over the place. Little signals. Just be careful, Don, watch out. And boy, it's so helpful. It's just like a parent looking over your shoulder, giving a warning, because you can get into trouble if you don't pay attention to what's going on, and you can make your life so much easier if you pay attention to these warning signals and watch out. So always pay attention. And here again, the emphasis is on paying attention, but then heed. If there's something that warns us, or if we get a warning from somebody, let's say your mechanic tells you, you know, you better stop driving or using your brakes that particular way because et cetera, et cetera. We need to pay attention to that because it's to our own benefit. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4 asserts that as the consequence of humility and the fear, that would be the reverence of Yahweh, are riches and honor and life. So humility that arises from accepting one's own limitations and fearing God that rises from accepting God's greatness yield riches, honor, and life. So two reasons are behind this truth. First of all, these two viewpoints lead one to make wise choices in life, and they also win God's rich reward. If a person is proud, the Bible says God resists the proud. So we've got a couple strikes against us already if we're proud. God wants us to be humble because that's our proper role in life. As people who are sinners, who have fallen natures, we need to recognize that we have tremendous limitations in wisdom, limitations in making good judgment. We have a tendency to be biased because of sin and evil and so forth, so we need to pay attention to recognize that we're limited, but God is unlimited, and God is a God to be revered. And if we revere the Lord and recognize our own limitations, then things go really well. God goes to bat for us. He helps us out in remarkable ways. Then Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5 claims that thorns and bird traps, or snares, either one, are in the path of the perverted or the twisted. But he who guards his life principle, and the life principle nephesh refers to the physical, the mental, the emotional, and spiritual life. In Genesis 2:7, God uses the word nephesh to refer to how he created man. He created man a living nephesh, physical, mental, emotional life. So he who guards his physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual life keeps far from them, keeps far from perverted, twisted functioning in life. We need to avoid perversions in our actions. We need to avoid perversions in our thinking, and be straightforward and candid in relating to others, and straightforward and candid with God. I love it, and David in one of the Psalms says, Lord, search my hearts and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me and purge me. It's a wonderful, Psalm 139, I think is the last verse. That's a wonderful attitude. That's one reason why the Lord used David. David was not a perfect man, there's no question about that. But the Bible says he had a heart after God's own heart. And David's heart was, I recognize I've got some problems, I've got some weaknesses, so I'm going to leave myself vulnerable to you, God. Please examine me, critique me, correct me, and then lead me in the path that I should go. Boy, if you've got that kind of an attitude, things are going to go very, very well for you. So we guard our physical, our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual realms of life from destructive pain and snares by being openly upright before all, especially before the Lord. So it's interesting, there's an emphasis in the lesson here today on candidness. There's an emphasis on paying attention to what's going on in our life around us and heeding warning signals, making sure that we are living our lives that are really candid, really open and upright before people, because there's nothing, like a candid life that will actually sell the credibility of that life. If there's anything that is subversive within us, because eventually it's going to be seen by others and it's going to reflect negatively upon us. So make sure that we come clean that way and we're upright before the Lord. Okay, we'll open up the lesson time to you. If you had some questions on anything that we've covered, you can bring it up. We'll do our best to answer them from the Word of God.